is 4:15, so we'll go ahead and get this started.
That's my normal day. I'm on the 16th.
Okay, so we'll start with introduction of officers. And now the new acting chair, Brian Leland. I'm a nurse at Fort Hood. Got a background in EMS, nursing in the ER, nursing in the ICU, and now this.
I'm Jared Marcus. I'm the vice chair. Parent of three students. I've got one at Hannah Springs, two at the middle school. I am in healthcare as well. I am the one of the administrators for Hamilton Healthcare System.
My turn. I'm Jessica Guy. I'm the county attorney here in Lampasas, and I have two kids. They're both at Klein Whitus. One is in third grade, and the other one's in kindergarten.
Okay. And we'll go around the table for faculty and community members prior to introduction.
So I'm Crystal Cahill. I also work at Fort Hood as a nurse, and I have three boys at Hannah Springs, a fifth grader, a third grader, and a first grader.
I'm Carissa Brown. I'm the counselor at Hannah, but I also have two students in the district, both at the middle school, sixth and seventh grade.
I'm Dana Tatum. I'm the campus nurse at Klein Whitus, and I do not have any children in the school district at this time, but I do have a future back. I'm just having a grandbaby.
Karen Desarn, I'm the county extension agent for Texas A&M AgriLife Extension here in the county, or family and community health, and help with education around the county.
I'm Brittany Kite. I'm a middle school nurse, and I have three kids, one in high school and two at Hannah Springs.
I'm Audrey Kaufman. I'm a nurse at the high school, and all of my kids have graduated, but I do have a granddaughter at Hannah in kindergarten.
I'm Taylor, I'm the school health secretary. I have two kids. My littlest is at Klein Whitus, and then my other one's a baby.
I'm Billy Shiflett. I am the nurse at Hannah Springs. I have a junior, a sixth grader, and a pre-care.
I'm Leslie Anderson. I'm the nurse at Taylor Creek, and I have a senior in high school.
Krista Ellis, director of school health. I have one at Klein and one in the middle school.
Dana Holcomb, assistant superintendent. Kids have already graduated high school.
Okay, so we'll move on to meeting minutes. Everybody has a copy of the meeting minutes from the last meeting. Get a motion to approve. Motion to approve. Somebody makes a motion. And a motion to second?
Second.
Motion to second. Minutes are approved. We'll move on to presentation discussion for sex ed curriculum.
All right. It's that time of year, and I'm going to get the lights here so we can see our very brief presentation for us. Legislation in the last couple of years has changed regarding the sexual wellness curriculum, and it's on the agenda today because the first step in the process is for the SHAC committee to ultimately recommend a curriculum to the school board for adoption for us to use in this coming year. We have to have at least two public meetings. Of course, this is the first one. We're actually going to have a meeting also in December to give our voting members of the committee time to process and review the information, which I'm going to give to you today, and I'll email it to all of our voting members so you'll have time to vet both of the programs that are on the table to be to choose one, hopefully to recommend to the school board. If in December you guys vote for one, then what I think we need to do is in January we'll bring it to the school board for their approval. In the past many years, I mean, we have been using one of the programs which I'm going to show you. I don't think really have any complaints. I've searched hard, I've had other people look, and there just aren't a lot of curriculums out there that we felt comfortable with that even as options. But this year, surprisingly, we found another option. And Nurse Ellis and myself and one of our instructional specialists did a conference call with one of the representatives, and she provided us a lot of information. Sounds like a viable option, so we're gonna, you know, talk to you guys about that today and let you take a look at it. And so we'll just kind of go from there. So if you'll just kind of take a look at the screen here, I'll point out some of the things for you guys to kind of review in between meetings. Okay, option one, the first option, the curriculum we have been using for quite a while, it was rebranded and updated a couple of years ago, is the Living Well Aware curriculum. It's called My Choices, My Life. Grades 6 through 8 is where we've been teaching this in Lampasas. Again, I'll send this to you and it's all linked here. If you go to the first link here, I mean, everything about the program is gonna be here for you guys to look at. 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade. This program that you're gonna see in, on the toolbar here at the top, it's not just for adolescents. They've got some wellness programs for adults as well, but you would focus on the adolescent wellness part of it. You can click down in here and you can see kind of an overview of what would be taught, what has been taught by grade 6th, 7th, and 8th. It gets a little more detailed, obviously, as they move up through the grades. Again, both of these programs, it's required that parents opt in. So again, any parent who has any concerns about it can say, I'd rather not have my child go through the program, and you know they're not gonna opt in. We'll have other science curriculum that they can work on during this time. So again, that is there. 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Let's see, you get back to the presentation.
Might be in a second.
Okay. The second link here, they've got some videos from the creator of the program, what is Living Well Aware. You can, again, all of that's on the toolbar, but I've linked both those in for you. You can kind of just see here. It's about a 4 or 5 minute video. Dr. Shulock, I may not be speaking correctly. I don't know if she's a world-renowned physician, but very highly thought of in the Central Texas area, Scott and White. Some of you guys working in healthcare may have heard of her. We had her as a keynote speaker a few years ago just to talk about wellness for the staff. She's a very good presenter, you know, lifelong physically fit, but you know, she and her husband, I think, developed this, updated it with videos. There's parent videos, it's very transparent. So in the past, when we chose this program, there's a parent review night, preview night, where we set up a time where our science teachers would be there in the library. Everything was available. Parents could, you know, ask questions, you know, again, look through things online, make some good decisions based on what's best for their family. So that's option one, is Living Well Aware. If you go to the next slide, this next program we found is called The Source, Choosing the Best Way curriculum. Again, I think they cover 6th through 9th, but we just will be looking at 6th through 8th grade. If you click on the first link, kind of takes you to their homepage, talks about their curriculum. Got some information there, shows some information about who their staff members are here. As you'll see in a minute, one of the differences with this program is they bring in healthcare people to do the presentation. Living Well Aware is taught by our science teachers. I got a little slide with not necessarily pros and cons or advantages, but just quick, kind of a quick look so you can kind of see the differences in general of both programs. If you go back and you click on the next link here, it's gonna be overview again by grade level. And it's you have to look at this little template here. This is 6th grade. And if you look down here, you can actually click right here where it says choosing the best way. You wouldn't know that necessarily, but if you hover over that and click on it, it's gonna be basically like the student workbook. This program asked, obviously, that we don't share any of this. I just wanted full access for you guys to preview it. Again, not that you would send it out anywhere, but we really don't have the rights to the program yet. We haven't signed up with them. Obviously, we're just previewing, but you can click through the 6th grade workbook. It's kind of small here, but when you get it full, you can see the table of contents of what is covered. Same thing for 7th and 8th grade. Let's see, something else I wanted to point out. Full access, really, right here. It tells you, you can go to www.choosingthebestonline.com. You can enter the username and the password, and it'll take you to the full curriculum. You can look at the videos that are there. Everything is there. So again, when we talk to their representative, same type of thing. There would be a parent preview night I don't know if they would physically come in person, but we'd set up a time where it'd be like a live Zoom if we had parents had questions. Any other thoughts on what she told us that day?
Boys and girls will be separated in this program. It's not a joint one, which was a big key thing that we liked about it. Because it becomes awkward having boys and girls together, and the teachers were uncomfortable teaching that together as well, and this allows them to be present and teach it for us, and keep the different sexes separated as well, so it's not so awkward for them.
Here's the two kind of at a glance. Living Well Aware, basically the program is designed for boys and girls to be in the same classroom. That's the way we've been doing it. So again, that is one big difference. And just overall, if you look over here on the left, you can kind of read down through some of the highlights of the program. Again, like I mentioned, it's been taught by our science teachers. Kids are familiar with those adults, so you can kind of take that into account. We have normally taught it after the STAR tests are over. So end of April, early May, we block off, and it takes quite a bit of time. It's about a 10-day time period that we use to cover the curriculum. It's not a substantial cost to the district, but it's not free. It's about $3,000 if we choose to go with Living Well Aware again. The Source, they've rebranded. Looks like they've been around for quite a while. They were Lifeguard before, now they're called The Source. It's taught by their health educators. They come in. It's a expedited program. In other words, what they would like to do, when you look through it, it's going to say it's taught like in 45-minute sessions, but basically the representative told us what they would like to do is come in, if we choose them, and teach sixth grade boys like in the morning for a half day, then the girls would come in and they would go through the part of the program in the afternoon, then the next day they would have them, they'd flip it. The girls would be in the morning, the boys in the afternoon. They don't miss as much class. So really it's just one full day that it takes to cover the material for them. And it's grant funded, so there's not gonna be any cost to the district. We did ask, like, what districts do they currently work with? Because Living Well Aware, it's used a lot in Central Texas. This other program, they said they're currently in Liberty Hill and Lake Travis. So I asked, you know, that was one of the big questions, would they come to Lampasas? And they said yes, they found out they can. Not as many options available after STAR testing. So if we choose to go with the Source, we're probably going to try to schedule that in February, kind of around our benchmark testing. So a little, maybe sixth grade possibly the week before and seventh and eighth grade the week after. So we do have time in the schedule to get it done if that's the choice you guys make.
Have we had the chance to reach out to either of those two schools?
Haven't yet, but we got a contact information. And what I was gonna ask you guys to do as you look through this, if you have any questions, like specifically that, you know, after your review, to email one of us, and then one of us could reach out to the Source representative and or Liberty Hill and say, hey, what did you think about it? How's it going? I wanted to wait till I kind of heard from y'all.
There is a private ISD also that is signed on with them. She didn't release that name to us. It's a private charter Catholic school, she said.
Okay.
But they did vote them in for 3 years with Liberty Hill this year. So they are committed for 3 years to this company. And that was our point of contact that she gave us to reach out to speak to. But we wanted to present to y'all before we reached out to them and asked further questions.
So Liberty Hill did a 1 year and then signed up for three?
Yes. Yep.
So.
There are areas of the program we can't leave out, she said, too. She gave us those as well. So if there's any of those that come up that you're concerned about, there are areas that they can not present that they gave us that other districts have pulled out of the program that they don't mind removing as well, which we could pass on as well.
Yeah, if you guys are leaning towards the Source, I would provide you, there were a couple things they said that in their presenting, they determined that like they're gonna leave out one video or something here and there, but I didn't wanna, you know, get it too detailed at this point.
LGBT stuff.
They are faith-based is what she said.
Both abstinence-based, I don't think, and again, you guys looking through it may see some differences. And obviously,
she said they did disclose that they do provide pregnancy resources because they are faith-based. So she does disclose that up front as well so that nobody is blindsided by that.
Do we have any I know in the past, we talked about this, I think last February, when we voted the current sex ed program again, there weren't really any complaints for Living Well. Did we have any this last year?
No, I mean, I don't think any parent complaints, to my knowledge. I think that, you know, being 100% honest with you, I think sometimes some of the science teachers, I shouldn't say are not comfortable teaching it because they teach science, I mean, but I think some of them would prefer somebody else to come in and do it, you know. Maybe some of the topics, you know, are a little bit, you know, some people are more comfortable teaching than others, but it's very scripted, as, you know, you remember from last year, it's, you know, follow the videos, it's not, you're not giving your personal opinions on anything, it's objectively based, you know, science. No concerns from parents. Like I said, those who did have concerns, and again, I can't remember the exact numbers, it's a very small number in the past that have opted out, but
out
of 800 students, there might be, again, I'm not, don't quote me on it, but 20 to 30 a year maybe that choose not to. So the vast majority have gone through it and haven't had any big concerns. Obviously, the topics are a little more detailed as in eighth grade than in sixth, so, and you'll see that as you go through it. So.
And I think somebody, like I've personally taught nursing programs wide, so I think I've had nursing colleagues who are uncomfortable teaching reproductive systems. So to have science teachers teaching it, you know, and I understand why.
Yeah. Like, I was the principal, and for 10 years we utilized the program. We made it through, and no big issues. Mr. Graham's been the principal for 5 years, so we've probably, you know, been teaching the sexual curriculum for, I don't know, maybe 30 years now. It's been a long time. So any questions or anything? Like I said, we're not going to go through it in detail now because it's going to take you guys some time to process and go through and make an educated decision. Like I said, I'll send this to everybody, the voting members, or, you know, even people that just want it. If everybody's here wants it, we can email it to everybody for a preview, but I would just ask to don't share it with anybody else. Anything else? Any other questions or anything at this time? Like I say, we'll, you know, hopefully you guys can make a recommendation at the December board meeting as to one of the two. Like I said, I wish I had five choices, but there just really aren't a lot out there that we feel like are appropriate for my passes. So.
My sixth grader went through the Living Well last year and just very lackluster in his opinion as far as like when he came home of like, you know, granted, you know, it wasn't the first time he heard it, but just in that setting, it wasn't like.
Yeah.
So our experience.
I like the concept of having the boys and girls separate because there's so many different components.
Conversations.
A lot of people aren't going to speak up
if
they're being judged by the opposite sex.
And like I say, if y'all have questions, send them to us. At the December meeting, I may ask Mr. Graham to come just to give some insight or I can get his feedback. Again, I don't think the ultimate decision needs to be based on time out of class necessarily, but that is one thing that y'all can consider, 10 days as opposed to, you know, to two.
Sometimes a shorter situation can have a better impact than
maybe. And I did ask him, I said, are you guys going to be comfortable and able to manage 120 kids? And there will be a lot of kids. Now, in the current setting, you're just in a, you're in your normal classroom. 20 to 28 kids, roughly. You're going to be in a large group. They said, you know, they'll bring two educated health people, but they would obviously, you know, we could have a couple of counselors, just some other people in there from the school to help manage any off-task behavior and things like that.
They also are
a big group.
Interactive with them and give them a note, like a book for them that they're going to work through. They also have like chapsticks and mints and pens and stuff if we agree to it to hand out to those that are participating. And then there's several ways that they have interactive talk, they have videos, so it's like enough for everyone to kind of grasp it, that it's not just one way that it's displayed, and then they have their little workbook afterwards, she said.
Yeah, whatever we choose, whatever you guys recommend, if it's not what we thought it was, and obviously the next year we go back and look
get options again. So my question, are they asking for a contract like Liberty Hill did as well, or?
She did not bring that up. She didn't mention an extent of time to us. She said that that's what their board signed on for at that point. So I don't know if it was them just locking in stone because it's so much work for that 3-year gap. But
so I was wondering, because like if we do get for once negative feedback from it, then are we committed?
Yeah.
We can ask that.
Okay.
What is the point of a contract if the cost is free?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe just Liberty Hill possibly want to lock dates in. You know, again, based on the availability, because like we were talking, hey, what about May? And
Grant,
she's like, oh, we're kind of booked up already. So maybe they just wanted to say, hey, if we say we're going to stay with you, you know, maybe they'd say.
Bigger district. Probably yeah,
but that is a good question. If you're not paying for it, you know, how can they really hold you to it?
Maybe impact grant funding too.
Does it impact our grant funding?
No.
Does it impact anything on our side?
No.
So the only pros for a contract would be on their side?
All right. Well, like I say, I will share this, and we'll hear from you guys in December. So.
Hi.
Krista, we'll go to you for school health update.
So we did renew our CATCH program for 2025-2026. That has been paid. Everything's good to go. So we are a CATCH program again this year for PE. And then Senate Bill 12 changes, we did have to update our consents, and counselor consents have gone out. I know we're still having issues getting some counselor consents back.
I've gotten only 8 on my campus.
Oh,
all right.
We have some that are still struggling. As far as nursing goes, we are allowed to treat without consent. We only cannot if they opt out, we're not allowed to treat them at all based on the legislation changes that came out from TEA. So we haven't been chasing ours because if they haven't opted out, they've opted in automatically is the way that the law reads now with TEA. So that has immensely helped our nurses. And that's all I got.
Okay, and we'll go around the horn for campus updates. Dina?
Okay, so some of the health topics we've covered from August, September, October, and starting November, drug awareness and prevention, Halloween safety, gun safety, stranger danger, balancing health with life choices, fitness facts and tips. I'm going to give you this, by the way.
Okay, thanks.
I printed
like,
what?
We all got one. You're the best.
That's
your
pants. So September 19th, I taught a germ prevention and hand washing class to all the grade levels. September 26th, we did vision and hearing. The Lions Club volunteers, which are there, so awesome that they come in every year to help us. They clean our spot machine. Makes life so much easier. They help us screen all those. I had 61 total vision referrals. 33 of those referrals were based on field vision chart screenings that I conduct. And then 28 of those were just the failed spot machines screenings. So the state of Texas says over the age of 5, I have to do the vision screening charts on everybody, even if they come in and do the spot. So what I would do is if they failed the spot machine, I would screen them. If they failed mine, I give a referral based on my screening. But then if they pass mine and they still failed the spot, I didn't give them a referral from me, but I gave them a referral from the Lions Club, if that makes sense. So 28 of those were failed were they just spot machine, but then they passed my vision chart. 3 of those who failed the vision have been withdrawn without returning the referrals, and 6 referrals have been returned with all but 1 getting eyeglasses. So I have a bunch. I just sent out follow-up letters to try to get those back in. I'm hoping over the break. A lot of parents won't schedule those appointments, but I still have a bunch out that I have not returned. I have 7 total hearing referrals, only 1 returned with no problem identified. I have, like I said, sent out the follow-up letters. I'm sending them out this week. On October 10th, I did scoliosis screenings for 5th grade girls. I referred 4. I have 1 returned with a mild scoliosis identified, and I'm sending them follow-up letters for them this week. October 29th, we did fire prevention on our campus. The La Paz's Fire Department, Hamilton EMS, AirVac, and Officer Reza, our SRO from the La Paz Police Department, all presented for that day for all grade levels. October 23rd to October 31st, we observed Red Ribbon Week. I hosted a 5th grade drug abuse awareness and prevention poster contest. One of our students, Grayson Hargrove, placed first.
I didn't have a whole lot of entries, and the whole purpose of those poster contests is to get them to research hazardous drugs and what the hazards are, and then hopefully to teach their fellow students those with their posters. But I didn't have I had five posters submitted. So next year I'm going to open it up, I think, to fourth and fifth grade is what we talked about. Let's see, on October 31st, Officer Reza presented to each grade level on drug abuse awareness, Halloween safety, gun safety, and stranger danger. November 14th, our campus wore blue to observe National World Diabetes Day. As far as campus health stats goes, on my immunizations, I'm all up to date. I have two on a catch-up schedule, one on a provisional enrollment, and I have 28 affidavits to waive immunizations. GI-related symptoms, I had 8 in August, 10 in September, 12 in October, and 2 in November. And all of these, keep in mind, are what's reported to me. There's a lot that goes down that I'll never even hear about. In flu cases, from August to November, I've had 4. I had 1 case of RSV in October that was reported, 1 rhinovirus in October, which I'm sure there was a lot more than that. COVID cases, I had a total of 7, with my last in October. Strep throat, I have 2. Hand, foot, and mouth disease was our biggest culprit. Our biggest war we fought this so far this year. I had 2 in August. I had 27 cases in September, and that's just what was reported to me. My last one was in November. I just had 1, so it's gone down significantly.
Is this mostly like pre-K kids?
Majority of them are pre-K, but I did see them all the way up to 5th grade. And even one adult.
We had it in the football team too.
My middle schooler got it from the babies this summer.
Well, actually, my husband got hand, foot, mouth disease when my kids were really
just
little.
Called
so
different.
Yeah,
but he actually could tell. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Had a big alert
that
was whooping cough too. So that's a
big alert for what?
Whooping cough.
Whooping cough.
Okay. We've had a lot of cases reported in the states.
Need to get vaccinated.
Yes.
Major injuries. I've had 3. I've been here 12 years, and I don't think I've had 3 in the 12 years I've been here. I had 3 major injuries, 3 fractures. One was a PE injury. One was just a random fluke accident. And then one, I'm not 100% sure that it happened on our campus because he also went home and injured himself that evening. So we don't know if the fracture occurred at school or at home. I think it occurred at home because I didn't as well. I didn't have any good side help referrals, no teach at referrals. I know that Ms. Warren, our counselor, has, however, had several teach at referrals. My total numbers of nurses visit from August through to yesterday was 1,015, with my busiest month being in September. I had 364 of those hand, foot, and mouth. In November, the CCMA students from the high school began career shattering tests in the clinics and in life skills. Are you okay with me moving on to Roberts, the coach and counselor? Okay. So Coach Roberts couldn't be here, and she said that Marathon Kids is still going on 3 days a week in the mornings. They run a minimum of a half a mile on Mondays and Fridays before station rotation and Fun Fridays starts. The goal this year is 3,000 miles, and they are currently at 4,000, so they're at a third of their goal. They're finishing up a dance unit. They taught 6 different line dances, and apparently Miss Bobo came in and danced with them today, which the kids love. In the works, we have our adopted military unit plans to come out and do a boot camp type exercise with our students. They're planning on trying a pickleball unit this year.
Oh, that's cool.
Ms. Warren said with the Senate Bill 12 changes, the consent forms, collecting those up has been a challenge. She said it's taken a lot of time away from actually providing attention to the students who need it. She said that SNAP benefits were decreased and benevolent funding cut has affected the ability to purchase snacks. That's been some of their concerns right now. You might be able to speak more on that. I don't know. The campus is currently doing a food drive and an angel tree for Christmas, and this year they've only received 700 cans. Last year at this time, we had over 4,000 cans. So she said, if anybody wants to donate to our food drive, feel free. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Hey, Billy.
Okay. My immunizations are up to date. I have 27 affidavits, 5 catch-up schedules for Hep A's, one provisional enrollment from another Texas school. I've done zero Good Side Health referrals. I have not done any TeachAt referrals. Common illness trends, hand, foot, and mouth, late October. Flu B is emerging, and several GI illnesses. I have had one on-campus fracture in the month of October. Three lacerations requiring stitches, staples, or glue from falls on the blacktop. My office count since August of 28 to today is 1,000. My total is 1,281. I'm averaging about 20 to 25 visits a day. Hearing and vision screenings were done on October 15th. 419 students screened. 77 vision referrals were sent out. 5 have returned requiring treatment. Scoliosis screening was done on November 13th. I screened 50 girls, 0 referrals, and my EDCA trainings are done monthly and are up to date.
For counseling PE, for Hannah, my coach said that they are doing their weekly health lessons on Fridays, and she said that it's seeing really good things from it. Their run club is over 3,000 miles, which is a total of 115 marathons so far. They're running Monday through Thursday in the mornings, plus what they do in class. They've done fitness gram for 3rd through 5th, and they got their PACERS test to get their baseline. Counselor part, we've had 42 referrals regarding support for the holidays, either through meals or annual tree. I'm currently missing 7 consents for SB 12. I was at Region 12 yesterday and talked with the counselor there, and she's working with other region center directors and TEA to help in January come up with all of the specifics that schools need for registration for next year, so that way we have a little bit better guidelines for districts to put out. And I was like, thank you. I got a call from, I can't remember the doctor's name, but he has been newly assigned to our MHMR here in Las Passas. Has he reached out to you? Because I gave him your name and number too.
Thank you.
And he is really trying to make it so that if there is a mental health concern for a child, that they can screen them here instead of having to go to Colleen, which has been a huge issue. So I'm really hoping that they can kind of finalize those things for us. I have 18 students currently enrolled. I think I had one or two that have just moved out of TeachAt so far this year. And I have a couple more that we're talking with parents and hoping to get them some support. But at Region Center yesterday, a gentleman was telling us about Charlie Health, and I wanted to bring it up to you because one of the counselors, they use it, and it's kind of along the same lines of TeachAt, but they also do groups, and they do incentives for the students to be able to support with it. So, but it's a little bit more long-term than TeachAt. TeachAt's short-term, so I just wanted to kind of...
We can look into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then with one of the bigger problems that as the counselors have seen for the SB 12 is that it requires for any type of survey that goes out that we have to have consent specifically for the survey. Well, typically we do our bullying lessons and surveys and stuff in October. So Dana said that we could push it until next semester because I was like, parents are going to come after me if I send out another consent right now. I came up with a new little thing for our campus, and I shared it with the other elementary counselors, but it's based off of the school safety center, so we're kind of revamping things anyways, so to give our kids some time to kind of see the posters, but then go in and teach it, and then after the first of the year, we'll send home consent with the actual questions for the survey, because parents have to be able to see the questions before we give it to the parent, to the students, so that'll be coming after the first of the year. October 30th, we had our safety walk that incorporates fire safety, Red Ribbon Week, all of the things, and we had Silver Creek Urgent Care come out. We had the Hamilton Ambulance came out, but they also brought their helicopter, which was really awesome because the last 2 years they haven't been able to come. Fire safety, police officers came and talked, gun safety, drug safety, all those things, and so we had a really great turnout. But a lot of great things going on.
Leslie?
Okay, so I did my hearing and vision screenings on October 28th. They screened 384 kids total. I had 31 hearing referrals. I've received one back normal. I had 54 vision referrals. I've received one of those back normal. I had one good side health appointment for a positive flu B and strep. No CHAT referrals. I have scoliosis for the fifth grade girls scheduled for December 8th. I've just had a few reports of positive strips and flus. I haven't received any positive COVID reports. Common things in my clinic is just, GI stuff, headaches. An abundance of just minor cuts and scrapes like all day long. And I think it's losing teeth season. I also had an increase in hand, foot, and mouth. I saw in October, I was getting about two or three a week. I've had 820 nurse visits since the end of August, and I have one student that's missing their second varicella. Mom's supposed to be taking her over Thanksgiving break to get it, and then my immunizations are up to date.
Okay, the middle school. It's rocking over there. We just got done doing our hearing and vision screening. We screened 227 students, 30 of them were referred. We haven't gotten back any of those yet though. We have scoliosis pending screens on the 18th or 19th of December before we go out for break. I have sent home one kid with flu-like symptoms, but I haven't really seen any more of that here lately. I've had one fracture on campus since school started, or since the last SHAC meeting. No good side referrals, no T-chat referrals. I gave out a lot of ice, y'all. A lot of ice.
Ice and mint.
Yes. Since the last SHAC meeting, I have seen 1,277 students, and that's about it.
Okay.
Audrey?
All of my immunizations are up to date right now. Miss Keeney, one of our counselors at the high school, she has started like a staff wellness type group. It's called Serenity Squad. They meet on Tuesday and Thursdays after school. For the month of October, we had the fentanyl awareness month, so we sent out a lot of different information campus-wide on fentanyl and how to, you know, avoid taking things or using things that it could have fentanyl in it. Our HOSA had our blood drive October 8th, and there were 102 units donated. The next blood drive will be February 18th. I completed senior CPR October 21st. I've got about 40-ish kids or so that were either absent or they were, you know, off campus or they just didn't come. So I have to catch those kids up. Cavils did a flu shot clinic for the staff in October. The high school, at my level for vision and hearing, I have to screen anybody new to Texas. So I had 25 kids, which I feel bad because y'all had hundreds of kids. But I did my time with that. I know, been there, done that. But I had 25 kids, and I just have one left to screen that was absent at that time. Krista is working on getting more boxes of Narcan to kind of spread out through the campus. Right now they're in set locations. I have it, our SRO has it, and it's like with their EpiPens and all that in our AED box, but since our campus is so big, we're going to kind of try to distribute in other areas too, so we don't have to run so far if we do need it. I have used one unassigned albuterol for a student, and year to date I've seen 1,720 kids. I don't know what it was since last meeting, but total it's been 1,720.
How much does our Narcan cost?
It's free. Okay. So her boxes actually just shipped. I ordered 24 of them because we give them to the SRO and Lampasas PD as well. So each campus has at least four right now, I believe. But I went to a safety meeting for high school and they requested them further out near the automotive shops because it's such a trek. And so I ordered 24, so we have plenty of extras that we can disperse them out further across that campus. But it's free.
Adult parents can, anybody can get them online free too.
Yeah, it's through the state of Texas. It's a college, the Narcan program is sent out through, I think, University of Texas. It's completely free, as long as you're using it to save a life.
Just lock it and they'll mail them to you.
Does it have to be refrigerated or just room temp?
No, room temp. It's good for about 2 years.
Nasal.
Internasal, yep. And this was our epi that we have now. It's internasal as well that was required for the state. I will touch on for the nurses as well. I did file for Project Adam for all campuses through Dell's Children Hospital Program. We're waiting for a response from them, which would give them HeartSafe recognition through the state of Texas, which means they have an AED within 2 to 3 minutes of a brisk walk on every campus. So we're waiting to hear back from them. Texas Children's used to do it, but they stopped responding to emails. And so I went through the next one that just popped up on the website that they had partnered with. Unassigned albuterol, there have been two at middle school as well that Dr. Hayes signed off on, and one at Hannah Springs right after our SHAC meeting. As far as shots, I also filed the immunization report for the year. There were 166 affidavits for K through 12 for the school year, 8 for early education and pre-K. We have 100% compliance for 3,498 kids that were snapshotted on that date, beating the 99% state average. Nice. So we are up to date and compliant. And it is submitted to the state.
That's impressive.
We're ahead. We're getting it done this year.
Take Colleen.
No, they got 2 more weeks. It's due in 2 weeks.
We got asked to do a rodeo with them. Vaccinations. Our director said no because we don't have resources right now. But yeah, their numbers are nowhere near.
It looks rough.
Yeah. All right, do we have updates from Mr. Pittman?
He is actually not here today. He had nothing new to report. He told me an email.
Okay. All right, and AgriLife.
Okay, I wanted to let you know that I have been involved with the regional suicide prevention group. It's called SAFE. We came up with the name Suicide Awareness for Everyone. We had a meeting this week in Colleen. It was kind of a meeting with another group, with Central Texas Mental Health Group. And they meet monthly. They have been meeting most recently in Colleen, but we have been meeting virtually as well. Anybody who wants to participate or if you want to, the next meeting is December 16th at 11 a.m. Let me know and I can get you the link for that. Then they did have a flyer recently, which was a little bit new to me anyway. And it's a two-sided, which shows the risks for suicide. One side is for acute risks and the other one is chronic risks. So if anybody's interested, I can scan this in and get that to you. We're hoping to come up with some more actual events, activities, and things that will kind of reach out to the communities that we are involved with. With my job, I'm currently with 4-H. I am doing food and nutrition currently. We just had our food show last week and we're focusing on a team nutrition project coming up for contest, and then I'll be working with sewing and photography and some of those projects in this early first of the year. My coworker Heath is really involved with the animal projects, getting people registered, and I'm helping with the food fair at the stock show as well. Just finished up a gardening curriculum for Head Start. It could also be with any pre-K group. It's a pre-K Learn, Grow, Eat, and Go. And then there's a regular Learn, Grow, Eat, and Go, which we did at one time, probably more frequently at Klein White than other places. Well, at Taylor Creek, and then once at Klein White, actually. And it is an 8-week program, Learn, Grow, Eat, and Go. If anybody's interested, probably when we did it before, we kind of kicked it off in February, did some planting, and then it's
really hard to get very much of a harvest by the end of the school. Sometimes we did get some harvest in there. So let me know if you're interested in any of that. And then I do go around the county and teach some different nutrition and wellness programs. Currently just started with the Senior Center doing, it's called Walk and Talk, where we're talking about fruits and vegetables, trying to get them to walk. But one thing I'm trying right now is some drumming. With some drumsticks and music and movement. They seem to like session one, so we'll see how that goes. Let me know if I can help in any way at your campuses.
All right, any parent questions? Very open forum from the group. Okay, well, motion to move.
So I will say, just having some of the military connection, I was trying to push the Hopkins Brown about like food support for further out from Land Passes, like Colleen and some of the military resources for families. So I try to share those at least with her so she can disperse because she has more of y'all's contact. So I know food's been an issue for a lot of families.
I know the Capital Area Food Bank has been coming to Land Passes periodically and doing stuff, but I know the mission has been putting out a lot of things as well.
And then I didn't know, I've seen where some schools somehow get a partnership to do almost a food thing in their school.
Yes. They actually reached out to us to do that, and it's the logistics to make it happen is a lot. And you have to have so much space to be able to provide so that they can put in their fridges and all the things, and really amazing, but I just don't have the manpower to do it on our campus. They did ask us last year if we would do it just because we have such a high number on our campus, and Ms. Duhon and I actually looked at it, and I was really excited about it, and she's like, okay, Carissa, take a step back and look at the big picture here, and it was just going to put a lot on us to be able to do that. But I think that they have worked with different churches and different members of the community. And so they've been coming out and doing the food boxes and stuff. I want to say every couple weeks or so.
They've been doing jobs at St. Vincent de Paul as well.
Yeah, so they've been doing them. They've been upping those, I know, in the last year for sure. So, but maybe down the road, depending on the food bank to put a place here in Land Passes. I know that's something that they do want to do.
And then with your families, like you said, you had some that you got requests for certain things. How do we support those if we have the means to support it as a community?
So I know elementary campus is doing their food drive, and the food from that directly goes to, like, for my campus, we go directly to the Land Passes Mission. I know that the Taylor Creek one, I think, goes to the Methodist Church there in Kempner, that they have a food bank, and I think the middle school does Catholic Church. I'm not sure where Klein's goes. I'm not sure. But there's several different places where they have regular food banks here. But each elementary campus is also doing an angel tree. Mine is going up for the next couple days. I'm hoping to open it up so that way people want to come in. I know that it was brought up about benevolent funds that our district has. That is something that over the years people would just donate like monthly or yearly or whatnot. And so as counselors or nurses, if we had something that a student needed, the family could not afford it, we could put in a request to do that. So let's say we had a family that they didn't have groceries. So I would go and I would get a pantry full of staple type things to go and supply. And from what I've been told, and I don't know if this is true, that a lot of the people that have been doing those donations, they're getting older and have passed on. And so we don't have the other things coming in for that. And that is how we support Army Canyon Vento students or our homeless people. When they come in, if they need clothes or shoes and things like that, that's where that money comes from. And I know that we have pretty strict guidelines now on how to utilize those funds. And so we're just trying to kind of be creative campus-wide. I know I have a care card in my office for snacks and toothbrushes, deodorant, all that kind of stuff if a family needs it. And so I have somebody on my campus that has provided snacks to start the year off with. If need be, I can go to my PTSO or stuff like that. But just kind of depends on the situation.
Has anybody ever tried to try, like, you did sign up to make it anonymous. Use like Sign Up Genius
for
to get donated. Like, if you had a specific need or something.
I could, absolutely.
Just as a like thought.
Yeah. And I,
because I know we do a lot. Like when the teachers send out stuff to us, and the teacher says I need X for my activity I'm doing. It makes it kind of nice because then we know that's what the teacher needs versus like me handing them, you know, a box of Cheez-Its and they.
Right.
We actually had a teacher that was like, don't send in any more cheese snacks. Like she didn't want it from anybody.
Yeah.
So like he kind of gave us guidance in terms of like as parents how we could support the teacher.
I can
get
with my principal and see how she would be okay, what she would be okay with for us sending out, because I can send that out through the council remind that that's been a big benefit too for our campus. Yeah.
Do you have anything to add?
No.
Audrey? Round table, do you have anything to add?
I'm good.
Okay. Dr. Hay?
I'm good.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
Next meeting will be December 11th at 4:15 for us to vote on the program. It's just the voting team.
Yeah, so.
Parents and board members are the only ones that can vote. Our staff can no longer vote for the new shotgun.
Y'all's input is appreciated, obviously, if you have thoughts. But I guess the five people that we designated.
So, Crystal, you would be one, and then Stephanie was one, Jessica.
Yeah. Parents are the voting body.
You are, because you're secretary.
Okay.
What do you have to have to get the board?
Since we have five people, I said if it's 3-2, then we'll go with that. So.
Okay. If only three of you show up, or four of you,
that's
3-2.
Hope we can reach consensus, but you know, again, I don't know as much about the source, obviously, but I feel like we probably would be okay with either, just overall. But
I heard about another meeting.
So we'll just wait and see what y'all think. So.
Meeting adjourned.
Second.
Okay.